when you're feeling kind of bad, going through something, you read the book of Psalms, and it'll definitely give you some help. Wait till everybody gets in back in here. Door shut. You know, I thank God the Lord's given us emotions. Now, some people, you think they're overly emotional. Some people are not emotional at all. I don't think that's good either. God's given you emotions. God is the God of emotions. He has emotions. And he put it in us. He gives you, you got feeling, you got all those things. But it's good to feel God. It's good to feel that when he shows up. And it's good to feel that he's there. Amen? And boy, what a blessing that is. I like to feel him. I like to know he's there. I like to feel that he's around. Amen? Look at Psalms 55. We're going to talk about storms this morning. Everybody goes through storms. Some storms are self-made. Some storms we bring upon ourselves and self-made. Some storms God allows you to go through and for your own growth. And people don't realize that when you come to the altar and when you come down and you say, I want God to use me. I want God to fill me. I want God I want to be a better Christian. And you're going to face some storms. And I'm going to say this. You say, I won't come to the altar if that's the case. You're going to go through storms whether you do or don't. And when you go to the altar and say, Lord, I trust in you. And I want you to use me. And you'll go through a storm or two. And disciples went through some storms. There's people in here going through storms. You got the storms in your life. And it tests, they always say, they said, they don't want to know how many, most of the people don't want to know how many storms you encountered. They just want to make sure you got the ship in. Did you bring the ship in? And are you there? You're doing your job? And are you fulfilling your job? Psalm 55, verse 8, we're going to look at some verses. It says, look back up verse 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. That's a great verse. I remember a preacher told this story one time. He said there was a man up in in a church, and he went to every time he got down at night to pray, his wife would pray this verse, and he didn't know what she meant by it. She'd get down, she said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And every time they got down at night to pray, she would pray that prayer. And he said, why'd you pray that prayer? She said, that's the Lord laid on my heart to pray that. And finally, he said, after about a week went by, she kept praying, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. And he prayed after her, and he said, Lord, I pray, give her wings and let her fly. Amen. Let her go. And because he thought that she was talking about him. For then would I have wandered far off. For then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my steps from the windy storms and the tempests. He said, if I had the wings of a dove, then I could hasten my steps and get away from the storm. We try to run from storms and try to get away from them. As a pastor of Faith Baptist Church for 30-some years, we've been through some storms. I've seen families in this church go through storms in your life. And some of the storms I've seen families go through was families that they brought upon themselves. But you know what? The church was still there with them, going through the storm with them. And some storms people went through just unexpected, just happened. And we've seen some storms lately. We watch the weather, and you see all these nor'easters coming up and all these tornadoes and all this stuff going on. The Lord said before he came back, there'd be storms and all kinds of stuff going on, volcanoes, and we see all these tsunamis coming in, these storms, people unexpected, and God warning people. And I believe that with all my heart. God warns people, and I believe the Lord warns people by storms. He warned you by storms. And Psalms 83, go to Psalms 83, and verse back up to verse 13. God warned people by storms. And it says, oh my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame seeth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempests, and make them afraid with thy what? Storms. I remember as a little kid, My mother, we had thunderstorm. I remember I ran under the bed and hit my eye and cut my eye open because there was thunder and lightning. And my mother would say, shh, God's talking. And that scared the far out of me. And I tell you what, a storm will scare you. It'll scare you. Look what it says. Again, it'll scare you. It says, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Look at Psalms 107. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We know a story about a guy named Jonah. And we know Jonah was running from God. And God gave Jonah commission. He said, gave him something to do. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to the people what I bid thee. What I bid thee. And what did Jonah do? He turned around and run from it. And sometimes people run from what God's called you to do. You'll run from what God wants you to do. And God will allow a storm to get you in the right place to get you where you need to be. And you say, well, why would God do something like that? God, because he cares about you. And he loves you. And he wants you to fulfill his word. He wants you to honor him. And he wants you to be in the place where he can use you. When you go to the altar and say, God, use me. God, fill me. God, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I want to serve you. And then you go out and do your thing. God will bring a storm in your life. Storms will show up unexpected at times. Sometimes we bring upon ourselves. But look at Psalm 107. Look what it says. Look at verse 24. It says, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And he commandeth and raises the stormy winds. I just seen the other day some guy was on a sailboat or fishing vessel, and a whale, a humpback whale, got caught in the nets or something. And this guy jumped on top of the whale. Now, you ain't going to find me jumping on top of no whale, I can tell you that. And this fisherman jumped on top of the whale and started cutting the ropes away from this whale to save this whale's life. I commend him, amen. But I would watch him, and I would do just like the other guy did, just videoed him, amen, to see when the end was going to come. And but this guy jumped on top of that whale and tried to cut it loose. One thing that bothers, it scares me, is water. Being out in the water, it scares me. Why? Because I can't swim. And I don't like to be around the water. I mean, I just don't like to be, and I don't want to be so far out in the ocean where I can't see land. I want to be close to land. Amen. You say, why? Because I'm a chicken when it comes to that. I'm a chicken. I'm scared of water. I think the most horrible thing to be able to die is in the water with an alligator chomping at you or a shark chomping at you. That'd be a terrible thing. You think, man, I'll scratch his eyes out. Yeah, you may not have an arm to scratch his eyes out. You'd be in a bad shape trying to get to that. And I'd be trying to swim or walk on water or something. I'd be trying to do something. But these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy winds, which lift up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down into the depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. They reel, look what it says. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man and are at their wit's end. Let me ask you something. When you're going through a storm, do you ever get to your wit's end? You get tired of it. You get tired of the storm. And they cry on the Lord in their trouble. And he bringeth them out of their what? Distresses. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of y'all just like the storms. I don't. I don't like to be in no storm. I like to see rain come by, calm rain. Not a lot of wind where it's going 100 miles an hour and you see stuff blowing by your little car, trucks, and all that. I don't like that at all. God's in the middle of a storm. I realize that. But I tell you what, if any storm I go through, I want to go through where light rain and it looks good. And then when the rain comes finishes, then the rainbow comes out and the sun's shining and we go, hallelujah, what a blessing. And it helped the land. But man, when you talk about a storm that's going to destroy and tear up, it's scary. And boy, I tell you what, some people are just satisfied with being in storms of life. And I tell you what, if you're not going through a storm, you're going to go through one eventually. You'll go through something. And you ain't going to skate in this life, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, whether you're dedicated or not. But I'd rather be in the middle of the storm knowing God is with me and on my side and knowing that whatever's going to happen, he's in control of it. And I didn't bring it upon myself. And I didn't do it like Jonah did. Jonah, man, the Bible says that he went out there and got on the ship. And he said, I'm not going to go do what God told me to do. I'm not going to live the way God told me to live. I'm not going to do or speak the words that God told me me to speak. I'm just going to do my own thing, and I'm going to go and live the way I want to live. And Jonah got on the ship, paid his fare, and he got on that ship, and the Bible says he went into the bottom of the ship and went to sleep, and God prepared a storm. All the way through the book of Jonah, you find God prepare this, God prepare that, God prepare something else. Now, what is God preparing for you? To get you to the place where you ought to be, to do what you ought to be doing. In the book of Jonah, God's trying to prepare, and he's preparing something and for Jonah. Why? Because he had a commission on Jonah's life. Jonah had a calling on his life, and God called him to do something, and he run from it. And he wanted to do his own thing and do what he wanted to do on his own time. And God made a great storm. He prepared something. He prepared a great fish. And he prepared some other things for Jonah. And like I said, some people bring storms in their own life, which they don't have to. They don't have to bring those storms. And, I mean, man, I tell you what, you ought to be to the place where you say, Lord, I'm tired of these storms. I'm tired of this thing. I'm at my wit's end. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you. If a storm comes, at least I'll have peace in my heart, knowing that I'm doing what's right, and I'm honoring you, and I'm living for you, and I'm obeying you. Instead of going through storms where you have no peace and no comfort. I mean, all the way through the Bible, you'll find storms. You'll find Job in the book of Job. Take your Bible, look in the book of Job, chapter 21. Go back one book. Go back one book in the book of Job. Job chapter 21. Job, man, here's a guy that, man, never did nothing. The Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not against the Lord. At the end, God blessed Job, and he gave him twice as much. And why? Because the devil brought the storm upon him. The devil brought the storm upon him. God allowed it. God allowed storms. Now, you're trying to do right, and you're going to be tested. You're going to go through storms. You're going through trouble. You're going to have those things. And don't think that I can run from it. Where are you going to run from God? Where are you going to hide from God? I mean, man, if God's got a calling on your life, what are you going to do? Job was just minding his own business, serving God. And the Bible says he even sacrifices on a daily basis for his family, for his children, just in case they sin, just in case. And this guy, man, he dedicated everything, his life, his wife, his wealth, everything was dedicated to God, everything. And God brought a storm in his life, and the devil instigated it. The devil's the instigator. But you see what the devil didn't realize, the Bible says that God says Job has integrity. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have no integrity, when you're going through a storm, you're going to turn your tail and run. If you don't have no integrity to stand for God and honor him, you're going to turn tail and go away from God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've seen so many Christians when they'll praise God, they'll serve God as long as the weather's fine. As long as the weather's fine and the sun's shining, everything's good in their life, they'll serve God. But when things change, boy, they're running for the hills, or they're running somewhere else and doing some other things, and God's got to chase them down. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't need any fair weather Christians, even though God brings us through fair weather. He needs some Christians that's going to go through some storms, and they're going to honor him no matter what. No matter what comes in their life, they're going to trust the Lord. Job chapter 21, look what the Bible says. The Bible says in Job chapter 21, and look at verse 18. Back up to verse 15. He says, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? For lo, their good is not in their land, in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How often is the candle of the wicked put out? How often cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrow in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children, and rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction. He shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. What profit or what pleasure hath he in this house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach God knowledge? Are you going to tell God what to do? Are you going to tell him how he ought to handle your life? If we had a plan for our life to lay it out, we'd lay it out just as easy and as sweet as we possibly could, and that we would always profit in everything. That God doesn't do it that way. He allows storms in your life to make you a better person, to let you know he's in charge, and he's the one that's going to provide for you. He's the one that's going to take care of you. He's the one that's going to protect you. Psalms, look at Job chapter 27. Look at it again, verse 21. Job is going through a storm, and y'all know he lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. He lost everything, his finances, health, wealth, everything, family. His wife even said to him, curse God and die. And he even in that point, Job said this. He said, you talk as one of the foolish women. He said, should I not receive good at the hand of God and not evil as well? And I mean, folks, Job held on to his integrity, and he stood for what was right. And you know what God's looking for? He's looking for some people, when they're going through the storm, will trust him. You know what? We'll look at it in a minute. But look at Job 27. Look at Job 27. Look at verse 21. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth as a storm hurleth him out of his place. God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would faint flee out of the land. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. So who is it talking about? Verse 20. 19. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. And he openeth his eyes, and he is not. Terror shall take on him as waters, as tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth. And as a storm hurled them out of his place. Sometimes storms will shake you. God, like I said, God creates storms in your life to get you to the place where he can use you, where he can put you in a place where you can be more used for his glory and honor. Look in Mark chapter 4. Look in Mark 4. All the way through the Bible, it talks about storms and things that happen. In Jesus' day, Jesus with his disciples, and he allowed some storms even when he was in the ship. He was in the ship. The Bible says one time he sent the disciples off to the other side, and he stayed up and he prayed, and the Bible says he watched them rowing and toiling all night long. And they were all night long saying, wish Jesus was with us. Wish he was with us. Why wasn't he with us? And the Bible says he walked upon the water and walked as if he was going to pass by. You're talking about a character. The Lord is a character. And he walked like he was going to pass by, and they saw it was Jesus. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. And he got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And then the Bible says he looked around, saw the tempest, and he saw the waves, and it scared him. Storms are scary. And then Jesus gets up and goes into the boat, and he commands the storm to cease. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? Look in Mark chapter 4, verse 37. I mean, the Lord is in control of storms. You know what that tells me? It tells me if God's allowed a storm in my life, then he's going to control it. And he knows what the outcome is, and he knows he can get that. I know I can trust him in the middle of it. I know he'll take care of me in the middle of it. If he wants me to go, he wants me done, I'm done. Look in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day that even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when he had sent them away, the multitude, there it is, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. So it was now full. Now here's a miracle in itself. Here's the ship, and the water is up inside the ship, and the Bible says it was full. But the ship did not go down. My ship can't go down as long as Jesus is on board. It says, and he was in the hinder parts of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they waked him and said unto him, Master, cares thou that we perish? Sometimes you say to God, what are you doing, God? I mean, I'm dying down here. I mean, I'm going through this storm. Don't you care? The Bible says he was in the ship asleep. I kind of think that the Lord had one eye open watching them, just seeing what they're going to do, seeing if they're going to trust him, see if they're going to wake him, see if they're going to come to him. You know what? I believe God's got, he got a storm in your life. He's watching you. He's seeing how you handle it. The ship is about full, but my ship can't go down long as Jesus is on board. He's watching you. Storms are going to come. They're going to come in your life. What you do in the middle of that storm is up to you. You can run. You know what the Bible says about Jonah? He said, how are we going to stop this storm? How can we stop all this? Jonah, out of his own mouth. How many Christians know when God's judgment is there? How many Christians know the storms are caused because of them? And how many people suffer because of the storms that you created from running from God? You say, well, I only hurt myself. No, you ain't. People suffer for the storms that you create. People around you, lost people suffer. Saved people suffer. Family suffers. Because of storms you create. Now, some storms God created. He allowed Job to go through. But there's some storms that people bring upon themselves. But they never learn. They'd rather ship go down and everybody drown. And themselves also. Than to trust God and say, Lord God, have mercy on me. The Bible says there arose a great storm, verse 37. And the waves beat into the ship that was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaked him and said unto him, Master, carest thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. I remember Dr. Ruttman in class one time, he said, man, if you can just get Jesus to speak the words, if you can just get him to say the word, peace, be still. If he would just speak the word, everything would be calm. If you're still going through a storm, I mean, storms come and go. Some storms, they'll stay around for a couple of days. Some storms, you know, will dissipate and be gone in no time flat. I tell you, if I got to go through a storm, I want the thing to come and go on by and get through it and be able to see the sunshine again. I don't want the storm to hang around for months, weeks and months and years because of me. I don't want that storm like that. See, the Lord knows. He knows whether you're going to yield. And what happens if you don't yield to him? The storms get greater. The winds get stronger. Things get harder. And people suffer. He arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You got a storm? You can have a calm if you get Jesus to speak the word. In the Bible, look what he says. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Why? You know, the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts shall fail them for what? Fear. Why are we so fearful about everything? You say, well, we're in a storm. Well, if he's the God of the storm, and he allowed it in your life, he can speak the word, it'd be gone. You got a storm raging inside you? Is there something inside you, a storm? You want calm? You got to call on him. You got to call on him and trust him. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. You know what I find? I always say to people, are you reading your Bible? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the what? Word of God. How is it you have no faith? Why is it that when a storm will come in your life, and sometimes even you think it's coming, you got this, you think the worst, and you go off the handle, and you start blaming God, cursing everybody, and saying all kinds of things come out of your mouth, rather than trusting him. Why is it? He says, there, and the Bible says, how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds obey him? What manner of man? I'm going to tell you what kind of man he is. He's a God man. He's the best man that could ever be in your life. When men get married, they always have a best man. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is the best man you could have at your wedding. He's the best man you could have living at your house. He's the best man that you can trust with your children, with your wife. You can trust him. He said, how is it that you're so fearful? What are you so worried about? All the way through the Bible, there's storms. They show up, looking again. Look at this again. Luke chapter 8. Look at it again. We're going to go to Acts in a minute. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Are you going through a storm? You want the storm to cease? Is there a storm raging inside you? Something going on? Something going on in the home? Something going on in the church? Is there a storm? I mean, every church goes through storms. We went, as this church, if you've been around here a while, you know our church has been through some storms. We've went through storms with people in our church. And we've stayed there with them and stood right beside them because we knew the storm, it was unexpected. And they didn't know it was coming. And you said, what was it for? But we loved each other. We cared for each other. We're a unit. We want to stand with each other and pray in the middle of the storm. When my wife had the accident, this church stood with our family. Man, when we've been through some troubles and trials in our own family, man, this church stood with us in the middle of our storms. And we've tried to stand beside each and every person that's a part of this church when you're going through your storms. That's what we're for. That's what we're here for. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 23. Luke chapter 8, verse 23. And a lot of times we go around, after the storm has passed, we try to pick up the pieces with you. Right after Hurricane, what was that? That came in New Jersey. Well, Sandy. Josh went up there, Brother Mike Veach's church never got touched. He right in Staten Island. All the houses there in Staten Island, most of them got destroyed. And Brother Mike Veach, his church got together, and what they did, they're being a witness to their community. They went out, and the men would go out every day and find somebody they could help in picking up the pieces from the storm. And they would clean out the basements, take the dirt out. Josh went up and helped them, and they went up, and he said they were the Lord used that as a great witness to help those people, and people come to church because of it and got saved because of it, because that church was there for that storm. And folks, I don't know what America's going to go through. I don't know what storm we might be facing in this country. I don't know what storm you might be facing, but I'll tell you what, we want to be there to help pick up the pieces. The Bible says in Psalm 107, they were at their wits' end. There's some people out there in the world that's at their wits' end. 72,000 people died of overdose drugs. They didn't tell me, or I didn't check the news on, or checking the statistics on how many people committed suicide. Because they think they're at their wits' end. There's no hope. There's no hope. They're in the middle of a storm. And the storms they've created, the storms that they've caused. You know what I've learned from this? I've learned, don't be the cause of a storm in my life or somebody else's life. I've learned that. I don't want to be the storm that causes in your life. I want to be there to help you. I want to be there to get you through the storm, pick up the pieces. This church is the same way. But look at this. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You're going through a storm. You're coming out of one, or you're getting ready to go into one. But I'll tell you what. In the middle of the storm, you can trust him. Look at this. The Bible says in verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with disciples. Same incident. And he said unto them, let us go over on the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? He said, you have no faith? Where is your faith? What are you putting your faith in? If you're in the middle of a storm, what are you putting your faith in? He says, and they were afraid, wondering, saying one to another, what manner of man is this that he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him? There's another thing, Lord, show me. If God wants to stop the storm in your life, he can stop it just like that. He can stop it. If you're going through a storm this morning, I tell you what, the best thing to do is get his ear. Get on the altar and say, God, help me. This storm is going to overtake me. I feel like I'm going to go under with it. And you get down the altar, guess what? You'll wake him up. The Lord said, man, it's been a long time since you talked to me. Since a long time since you asked me for anything. Look in the Bible, look in Acts chapter 27. Here's another storm Paul goes through. So I believe God knows when the storms are coming. I believe God knows, and I believe sometimes he creates. And I believe sometimes the devil will come and instigate the God to bring something in your life because you're trying to do what's right. And you're trying to live for God. And the devil will instigate God against you. And God will say, hey, like he did with Job, he said he'll hold on to his integrity. Because you read the last part of Job, the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not. His friends accused him of being wrong. His friends accused him of sinning. They accused him of living in sin and hiding his sin. But that wasn't true. Job wasn't living in sin. He is a sinner, but he wasn't living in sin. He was being accused falsely. His wife even said, curse God and die. But the Bible says Job held to his integrity. You've got integrity that you can trust God and you say, I'm a man that believes God and God's able to do whatever he wants to do in my life and he controls it. I'm not a Calvinist, but I know God controls things in my life and he'll control things in your life if you'll let him. Look in Acts 27. It says, and was determined, verse 1, that we should sail into Italy. This is Paul. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners whose name was Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship. And look down at verse 3. And the next day he touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into the friends to refresh himself. That's that liberty still there. They talk about liberty, getting liberty off the ship. And when we had launched from hence, we sailed on Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the Sicily, Pamphylia, we came to Myra and the city of Cilicia. And there a certain centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. So what does this have to do with anything? Paul appealed to Caesar. And God told Paul that he was going to have to go through some trouble. God told Paul, since your life, what you've done, you're going to go through trouble. You're going to be beat. You're going to go through all kinds of stuff. And you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find what Paul went through. He went through a lot. He was shipwrecked, everything else. He went through a lot of storms. But you know what Paul did? He kept on pressing on. He just kept on going on. And I mean, folks, he was with a centurion soldier, and he was going to Rome. He was a prisoner, and he was heading there. And all of a sudden, they ran into a storm, and the storm was not for Paul, but for the others. It wasn't for Paul. This storm was for the men on the ship. Paul went through this storm with them, but he was able to be a witness for them. Sometimes God allows storms in your life for you to be a witness to other people. They'll see what you're going through. And they'll say, that man never cursed. That man never turned his back. That man kept his integrity like Job. And he kept on doing what was right no matter what happened. I saw this video of a family in South Carolina where three of their children burned up in the fire. The mother was in the fire and got out. And she lost three of her children. And that mama was on the video singing praises to God. And the hospital being burnt would go down into the children, the burn ward, and sing songs because she could play the piano and sing to the kids and sing to people, trying to encourage them after losing three children. I'm looking at that thing saying, my God, I don't know if I could do something like that. My God, I pray God I'd never have to face something like that. I don't want to go through that kind of storm. And I say, God, deliver me from that. I pray that. Lord, I don't want to go through that kind of storm like Job did. And I don't want to go through that. But I'm going to trust you no matter what. Lord, help me. I want to trust you. Look what the Bible says. And it says, and the storm got bad. And it got so bad that they started, look at verse 10. And Paul preaches to him. And he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be of much with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden of the ship, but also of our lives. Paul, he says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The guy, Paul was here, God's man on the ship, and Paul goes up and says, this is going to cause trouble. We're going to go through a storm, and this thing, we're going to lose the ship and maybe even our lives. You need not to sail out. And the centurion says, no, I'm going to believe the master of the ship. I'm going to believe it. He says, launch. Keep going. And Paul ends up reminding them that he said that. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the ship, the master and the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, and the more part advised to depart hence also, if by any means that they might attend the Phoenix and there to winter. And so on. Look down at verse 14. And not long after those arose against it a tumultuous wind called Eucliatone. That's what I would say, Eucliatone. And it says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running through a certain island, which is called Claudia, and we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, stake sail, and so they were driven. They undergirded the ship. They got that thing. They said, man, let's keep it from coming apart. And they undergirded. They worked together to get it done. They worked hard to get the thing done. To undergird a ship is something else. It says, fear lest they should fall into quicksand and stake sail and were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And they got to the place where they started throwing stuff overboard. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When they threw the tackling out, that was their survival. They'd be able to fish and be able to catch food. And it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest laid on us, he said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And then God gave Paul the ability to be able to stand up and say, look at verse 25, wherefore, sirs, Paul gets up. And look at verse 23. And there stood by me this night. Paul stands up and tells him. He says, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve. He said, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So Paul gets up, and they had no hope. There's no hope in this world for none of them. And Paul stands up as the preacher that told him, watch out, don't go, warned him. And he got up and said, hey, God stood by me and told me he's going to give me the lives, just our lives, and we're going to be cast upon an island as a testimony. So how many people were there? 216, I believe. 216 souls. They will never forget that night and that day, that storm. They could be talking about that. They were talking about that for years to come, telling their grandkids about it. There was a preacher on board, and he stood with us, and God allowed us to live because of him. I'm going to tell you something. The storms are going to come. They're going to come. Look on down. He says, verse 31, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldier, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now this time the soldier believes him. The soldier says, I'm listening to the preacher. I ain't listening to the captain anymore. I'm listening to the preacher. And he says, lest he's abiding the ship. And the soldiers cut the ropes of the boat, let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye've tarried and continue fasting, having nothing to eat. They didn't eat for 14 days in the middle of that storm. Paul encouraged them to get something to eat. Look down verse 37. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. These men learned that if they were going to go through a storm, they better have the preacher on the board, and they better have the approval of God. These men got to be on that island with Paul and see a miracle after miracle after miracle. You say, you think the 216 were converted? I believe so. I believe there might have been one or two, but I believe the most part, all those men believed God and trusted in the God of Paul and knew that he was telling them the truth. I'm going to tell you something. Storms come. Sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes it's somebody else. Sometimes storms will come, man, where your disobedience will bring it upon you. your disobedience. Storms come, folks, whether you're saved or lost. Sometimes the storms are going to come to get you to the place where you need to be, where you need to do and what you need to do. And God allowed the storms as a witness to other people that you're going through and that you're going to trust him. Paul never got up and said, God, what are you doing this to me for? Nobody has seen Paul in the middle of that ship at night going, why are you suffering me for? Paul said, I believe God. And he stood by me. That storm was not for Paul. That storm was for others. You ever think about some storms that you're going through? It might be for your family. You forget when you're at the altar praying for your family to get right, family gets saved, and now a storm comes. You say, why? It might not be for you. It might be for them. God allows storms. It says they were at their wits' end. Are you at your wits' end? If you're going through a storm that you created, you're at your wits' end, you're in a good place. You're in a good place where you can say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't care what. Though you slay me, yet will I serve you. You know what God wants? He wants you to serve him. And you'll think, oh, I'll run over here and I'll do this. And a storm happens. And you go, man, maybe I'll run over here and I'll do this. And another storm happens. If storms keep following you and you got a dark cloud hanging over your head, I'd find out something going on. Why is that? You ever hear people say, man, that guy's got a dark cloud hanging over his head all the time. I don't want to be around him. I don't want to be around somebody that's that dark clouds over their head all the time. But you're going to go through some dark times. You're going to go through some storms. Just make sure it's not your cause that you caused it to happen. Amen? Where are you at this morning? You in a storm? God is in the middle of a storm. Say, Jesus, I feel like he's asleep. Then maybe you need to wake him up. I don't think, Lord, I believe he's sleeping, but I believe he's probably watching. They're going to trust me or not? Are they going to try all their abilities to do whatever they have to do? They think these men were commercial fishermen. They've been in the storms. They've been through troubles. But this one was scary. And they went and awoke him. Lord, we perish! You feel like you're at that place this morning? Wake him up. Wake him up. Go to him. Lord, I need your help. I got to overcome this. I'm at my wits' end. You're in the right place. He can be waking. And he will wake up. Father, we love you. I want to thank you for storms.